Mike Buck and Duke Iona on News Radio 830.
Well, I don't know how we could have got that mixed up, but we did. It's actually Talk Story with the Governor today. And for the first time in the afternoon on the Governor's Talk Story Network, we also want to welcome our friends on the island of Maui that don't have to hear us over the air. They can instead hear us over their station, KAOI on Maui, and our friends at KQNG Kong over there on the island of Kauai. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. Great to be here. I'm glad you I'm glad you announced that Maui and Kauai now are listening to the program, because I'm going to be on Maui next week on Tuesday to dedicate the new Mokulele Highway, and then I'll deliver a speech on the economy there. And then on Friday, I'll be on Kauai to deliver the commencement address at Kauai High School. So
good.
I'm glad they're listening in.
So those of you that are on the neighbor islands today, particularly hearing our streaming signal over at KAOI or KQNG, give us a call. The number's toll-free, 1-888-565-8383. We've got so much to cover, but first of all, welcome back.
Thanks.
Because you were on a whirlwind tour. You were all over, I shouldn't say tour, you were working all over the place.
I had a wonderful trip to Israel.
Please tell us about Israel.
It was the 60th anniversary of Israeli independence, and President Shimon Peres hosted a World Global Leaders Conference there. Gorbachev was there, Tony Blair, and presidents of many, Poland and Slovakia and Palau, and just leaders from all over the world. Of course, President Bush was there and gave a fabulous speech to the Knesset, which set the Democrat candidates all in a flitter, Mike, but it was an unbelievable speech. And he basically said, we're not going to negotiate with people who say they want to destroy our way of life here in America, as well as everywhere else in the West. And he was, of course, very well received in Israel. But it's interesting, you know, people think of Israel as being so different than Hawaii, and yet one of the panels where I was a participant, I tried to make the point that there are so many similarities between Hawaii and Israel that you might not think of, including the fact that we are very oil dependent, and it makes us insecure. Our focus on agriculture and tourism, and our desire to transform our economy toward technology and human capacity, and that's exactly what Israel is going through right now. Also, we need to be able to promote ourselves with very little resources, and they have to do the same. We're surrounded by water. They're surrounded by enemies. And I might mention to you, Mike, and this is fascinating, as I noticed in the morning paper talking about preservation of ag land.
Yeah.
You know, in Israel, you're not allowed to import any food into the country. Everything eaten in Israel, and there's 7 million people.
Yeah, that's
everything,
amazing.
Everything eaten is grown in Israel. It's,
you know,
it's amazing because they're a desert, Mike.
Yeah, well, I was going to say,
most
figured
it out.
Most people conjure up dust, sand, you know, and the Gaza, I mean, and bombs and rockets, and yet they're feeding themselves.
You know, it's too bad that what people see on television about Israel, as you say, is Gaza or some trouble in the West Bank. And people, while I was there, they asked me about a rocket that had gone off and if it had been close. The people of Israel do go on about their life, Mike, and they are very tech-savvy nation. They have the second highest number of companies listed on the NASDAQ behind America, and there are only 7 million people in the whole country. And it's because they produce more engineers per capita than China and Japan put together.
That's truly amazing.
It really is. And their focus is on the human capacity of people, and they have to do that because they don't have any natural resources. They don't have oil, they don't have natural gas, they don't have any water, but they, of course, invented drip irrigation, and they're very active in the hydroponics and the production of food. So it really is an amazing country, and they're so excited when they hear Hawaii. What they tell me, they said, you know, every time you say that word, in our mind, it's just a paradise.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody just wants to go
there.
That's
our image.
Yes, and you know, in a large degree, it's our image because it's the truth. There's no place like Hawaii anywhere on earth. But it was interesting to hear these world leaders and what their focus was, Mike, and I would say this was true almost across the board, was the impact of globalization on economies and culture, and the need for education more than ever before, that the disparities that people have identified as being brought about by globalization is in fact brought about by the disparity in education.
That's really
what's causing it. Today, if you only have a high school diploma, you're going to have a tough time in life wherever you live, and even a college degree today it's just not probably everything that you need.
So. You know, here, and one other note, because we have a lot of ground to cover. There's already people who want to talk to you on the phone. But I also got to tell you that I was just mortified to find out that we were, and I don't mean this from strictly a political statement, but when Jimmy Carter took it upon himself to go to Iran and to go to parts of the world that deny the Holocaust, that deny, and it must be very, very, it must be puzzling or disappointing, not just as a Jewish person, governor, but also you can't ignore history. I mean, how can somebody say, well, enough years have gone by, people are going to forget this? And Israel is such a new country. I think maybe that bears a little bit of explaining to people that don't understand why this affinity between the USA and Israel, because a lot of the people that populated Israel in its rebirth are people that lived in the USA and that have gone and left the USA in the comfort and the safety and gone to a place where it's stressful.
And they continue to go till today, Mike. And it is a fascinating country because it has this sort of socialistic origins, the modern state of Israel, right? People went there in a collective fashion because there was nothing there.
Yeah.
And they just had to pull together. And now they've made this transformation to this modern. They're beginning to be a very tech-driven kind of an economy. And the fact is they are America's greatest ally in the Middle East, of course, the only democracy in the Middle East. It's the only place in the Middle East where an Arab can vote in an open election and serve in office is in Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, enough said. I think that, and it really is too bad because I know that there's so much uncertainty there. That there a lot of this techiness that they've developed, they're still having to spend a tremendous amount of their gross national product on defending themselves.
A huge amount, Mike, that they could be using for developing the human capacity of people, but their survival is at stake. They do put a lot of faith into America, that America will do the right things. And, of course, America recognizes what an important ally that Israel is. I think everybody remains optimistic that a solution can be found, and everyone now has accepted this two-state solution, that there will be a Palestinian state and there will be a state of Israel. If you recall the history of the creation of Israel, Mike, there could have been a two-state solution at its creation 60 years ago, but that the Palestinians turned it down at the time. And when the United
Now Nations, it's looking a little bit better to me, but I mean, look at all the stress we got to go through.
Yeah, but when the United, well, because they felt that they could take it away by force, of course, and after a series of wars that Israel was able to continue to exist, now I think hopefully we'll go to a more political solution. But I do think it's important to remind people of history that this was a proposed solution at the time Israel was created by the United Nations. The UN created Israel, and at the time there was a proposal for two states, and the Palestinians didn't want to go in that direction at the time.
Okay, Governor Lingle is with us. We are not just on KHVH in Honolulu, but KAOI on Maui and KQNG on the island of Kauai. More of Talk Story with the Governor coming up.
And Governor Linda Lingle on News Radio 830 KHVH.
And welcome wherever you are in the 50th state, and not only on KHVH here in Honolulu, but our friends KAOI on the island of Maui this afternoon and KQNG over there on the island of Kauai. And you all are toll free at 1-888-565-8383. And before we go to the phones, Governor, I'm sure you saw a front page story in the business section. Smokers are now being forced to pay fines when they smoke in a hotel room, in a non-smoking room. And as you know, the Big Island recently passed some legislation to ban smoking in parks and beaches. And there once again is sort of contentious issues going on between smokers and non-smokers. And as a former smoker myself, I sort of have mixed feelings because, you know, smoking's not illegal. And there's lots of taxes being paid on cigarettes, and you can buy them anywhere. But now there's even a move underfoot to have people that are in condos and private units not able to smoke at home if the majority of homeowners agree.
Yeah, I'm like you, Mike. I'm a former smoker as well, so I have empathy for people who are addicted to cigarettes and therefore feel so strongly on this issue. I think people who have come out against the various smoking laws fall into two groups. There's one group where it's a personal right kind of an issue, mm-hmm. about government not telling us what to do kind of an issue. But I think it's really driven by the other group, which are people who are addicted to cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And as it becomes more and more difficult to smoke, they're going to become more and more vehement about the issue. I feel sorry for them. I have empathy for them. But I'm probably on the side that says shouldn't be allowed to smoke where it can affect other people.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that should apply to someone's personal condominium unit. That's like saying, you can't eat meat in your unit because mm-hmm. I'm a vegetarian. So yeah. I think that's going over the line, Mike, and that would be something I wouldn't be able to support. Also, this idea that you can't smoke anywhere outside, to me, is also mm-hmm. an over the line. But smoking in public places where there are other people and they're being forced to breathe in that air, I think that's a fair division. But again, I'm like you. I was a heavy smoker for about 15 years or so.
Yeah, see, we didn't know each other then.
No, I think I quit now. It's been maybe, I don't know, 23 years or so.
10 for me on November 10th.
Good for you, Coming Mike. Up. But I was one of those, I mean, I loved it. It was the greatest, and I was really an avid smoker, mm-hmm. and I smoked a lot until it reached a point where I started to get headaches, and I went to the doctor, and she said, "Do you smoke?" And I said, "Yes." She goes, "Well, then don't come back here anymore."
Oh, my.
Because this is this is what's causing it.
Yeah.
And I just quit. And now, of course, I can't stand to smell smoke.
See,
I can't stand to be around it.
I'm the same way. I feel empathy for those that that have the addiction. But the only problem is that if either one of us could find all the money we've saved, we'd both be driving Rolls-Royce convertibles. Because it costs a lot of money to smoke now.
Especially nowadays.
$7 a pack.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the telephones. Jolynn. Is with the Hawaii Smokers Alliance. Thank you for waiting, Jolynn.
Hi. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
Welcome back, Governor.
Hi, Jolynn. Thanks.
I just had a question for you.
Sure.
For the past week now, the Department of Health has been running an ad on the radio on actually the Clear Channel stations. And, Mike, if you talk to Matt in production, he can pull that commercial up for you. What this commercial says is there's a woman on there saying she quit smoking because it's illegal to smoke at a bus stop or 20 feet from a bus stop. Now, that is not correct.
I think.
Okay, well, in the first place, I appreciate you programming for me, but I haven't the ability to get the fellow you mentioned in 1 minute. So in the future, you can send me that via email.
Okay.
But
okay.
I think you're right. I don't think it has anything to do with a bus stop. Isn't it a doorway or a window to
like
a building?
That's right. And, you know, I called the Department of Health.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, I left a message for Julian Lipscher, who is, you know, responsible for that programming. He never got back to me. But, I mean, as a smoker, you know, we're facing a bad enough time as it is. But if the Department of Health is going to put commercials out that are erroneous and actually taking the law further than the letter of the law says, you know, you will have people at bus stops that should be allowed to smoke there, but you'll have people accosting them saying you can't smoke there because they heard it from the Department of Health.
Okay, well, Jolynn, give me till tomorrow. I'll check on it. I haven't heard the spot.
Uh-huh.
But I'll get back to Mike, and maybe he can report on the air tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
by the way, the only reason I said that about the guy that you mentioned, Matt, is he's not here.
Oh, okay.
So we do have somebody else looking for it, and if possible, we'll see if we can find it for you.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Okay,
thanks.
On the subject of that, let's go to Kathy, who's on the freeway, talking about smoking. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi,
yeah, I just tuned in and I heard the thing about condominiums and, you know, let me tell you, I only crack my bedroom window a couple inches at night and at 2 a.m, I'm waking up by somebody smoking, probably below me because smoke rises, right? And it's just really annoying. I mean, I realize that everyone has a right to smoke within their condominium, and that's fine, but don't I have a right to keep my window open and not be bothered by it, you know?
Yeah, I think, Kathy, this is a condominium living, and as someone who's lived in condominiums a long time, I think there are always these issues where there's something that infringes on someone else, and this is a tough one, Mike, because as Kathy says, I can tell you I'm the same. If I open a window, someone's smoking right outside, I can smell it immediately, as soon as someone lights up. So I appreciate what she's saying. at the same time, as I said earlier, I do have empathy for people who are addicted and they're in their own apartment and they want to smoke. So for me personally, it would be going a little far to outlaw people smoking in their own units. And in fact, I think you'd have a very difficult time enforcing that.
Well, how about just asking them to close their windows if they're going to smoke in their condo?
Well,
that would be fine with me.
I think as a neighbor, you certainly can do that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, though, Kathy, because the governor's been away, I can just toss in. It's very interesting because the legal profession is saying, well, it's don't even go there because that's not going to happen. But it is within the purvey of the condominium or homeowners associations with two-thirds of a majority to make a rule about even inside the condo. It's not to say that it wouldn't be challenged if it was made, though.
Well, and I think that's a similar law they had, Mike, about not hanging up clothes, you know, if they had covenants.
Yeah.
And the legislature passed this clothesline bill, they call it, for energy savings. You can no longer do that under this bill they passed. It hasn't gotten up to me yet, but it'll be one of the bills that we'll be reviewing. So there's always going to be this tension between what you do in an individual condominium or covenants in a housing subdivision and what society wants to do overall.
Okay, well, let's put the phones on hold for just a second. Kathy, thanks very much for your call. And let's hear this commercial that Joe Lynn was mentioning. Chris has found it.
Hi, we're on the street asking people what they think of the new smoke-free law. Hey there, what's your name?
Alicia.
Do you smoke?
I used to.
What do you think of this new smoke-free law?
I agree with it, and, you know, that's the reason why I quit, because, like, I noticed, like, you know, like, how there is a law that you cannot smoke 20 feet from the bus stop. I noticed that a lot of people still don't do it, so that kind of made me quit because I take the bus and stuff, and I think it's not good for the adults, especially, you know, the old people.
Okay, so that's what you're going to have looked into. It made reference to 20 feet within a bus stop.
Pretty clear, Mike. Yeah. Let me go check on that.
Okay.
All right.
Jim is next. Hello, Jim. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. You know, I'm asthmatic. Like, the VOD bothers me about 150 times more than other people smoking. And the other thing that bothers me more than other people smoking when I used to live in a condo was neighbors who cooked really stink food.
Yeah. So from now on, no cooking, no stir-frying in that building. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I don't live in a condo anymore, but that really used to bug me. But, you know, so what? They're neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You live and get along, you know?
Okay, speaking of that, thank you very much, Jim. And speaking of that, let's go to Waikiki and Ray next. Hello, Ray.
Aloha, Governor. Aloha, Mike.
Yes.
Hi, Ray.
You had mentioned me on your program earlier, late last week, Mike.
You're the guy in the Waikiki.
Yeah.
The former police.
Anyhow,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I met the governor at GOP headquarters years ago. Long story short, our condominium board just passed a house rule, to which it was worded, no smoking on the lanai and or felicitate any smoke going into another owner's unit. Because I was on the computer 15, 20 feet from my sliding lanai door, and next thing you know, I get a puff of smoke. Ran to the lanai, looked over the top bottom, because there was a guy smoking the day before. He wasn't there. As I look up, there's a woman there pushing 90. I said, look, I don't want to stop you from killing yourself. But she says, I know, I shouldn't be smoking. But the man who rented us the apartment says, don't smoke in the unit. Go outside and smoke. I says, well, your smoke is bothering me. And now, should I shut all my windows and doors? Because you're smoking out on the lanai. So the first go around, the first month I tried it, the board 100% rejected it. This last time we got 100% a yes vote, and tomorrow, May 25th, the rule will go into effect.
Ray, how big is the building you live in? How many units?
The Ilokai Marina. We get a lot of smoke from the chart house. People go outside, and it's like the previous caller said, we have 261 units, of which 230 of them or thereabouts is rented, like a hotel space. So we get complete turnovers in people 3, 4, 5 days at a time, and it's bad. It's really bad. I used to be 4 packs of Marlboro a day, and I stopped cold turkey, just like the governor mentioned. That's the way you got to do it.
Well, good for you,
yeah,
Ray.
Good job, Ray. We got more of a talk story with the governor right after a look at traffic and a news break. You're listening to the Governor's Talk Story Network on KAOI Maui, KQNQ on Kauai, and here at KHVH in Honolulu. And welcome to the Governor's Talk Story Network. Cage Beach in Honolulu, K-A-O-I on the beautiful island of Maui, and our friends at KQNQ Kong on the island of Kauai. Those of you on the neighbor islands, you call us toll-free, 1-888-565-8383. And Governor, you were saying that it's coincidence, it's convenient that we're hooking up with Maui and Kauai today because you got trips planned to both islands. So for those that weren't here when we first signed on, what's coming up for you?
I'll be on Maui on Tuesday, May 27th to dedicate the new Mokulele Highway and to deliver a speech on the economy. And then on Friday, May 30th, I'll be giving the commencement address at the Kauai High School graduation.
What a thrill that's going to be, probably for both of you, probably for the kids looking up to see the governor and the governor looking down to see all of these faces that are saying, okay, world, let's go.
It is for me to be able to talk to these young people, Mike, and in a very few minutes try to say at least one thing that they can take away from that day, because usually at your graduation, you're thinking about a lot of other things.
Where's the party?
Right, other than the speaker, but I like to try my best, just one thing, try to leave them with.
Okay, let's go back to the telephones. The governor's here. We take the calls in the order in which you come in, 521-8383. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, in particularly because governor just returned from Israel, and I'd be very interested to know what they're doing in the way of alternative energy, because I know that's a big thing with you, governor, and that they're doing plenty. But let's go back to the phones. Sean is in Mililani. Hello, Sean. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. I used to be a smoker, quit maybe 10, 12 years ago. And I'm just thinking if the smokers out there were a little more courteous of others, it wouldn't be that big of an issue. And the one thing that kind of stuck in my head was the girl that called about the bus. You know, when I used to catch the bus, you know, I used to stand off to the side and downwind from everybody else just as a courtesy. So when I'm blowing out my smoke, it's not blowing all over everybody. Yeah, it's just small things like that you can do to be courteous. I think that would take the edge off the problem.
Well, you know, the governor is nodding, and so am I. I mean, I used to do that at parties if I was, and I found myself, you know, sort of excommunicated from some of my friends. So I'd go outside, no more ashtrays on the inside, and then I did that too. I'm sure, Governor, before you gave it up, you thought, well, you know, maybe this person doesn't like it, I'll go over there and smoke.
Yeah, I think Sean's right. I think if people were a little more courteous, on the other hand, Mike, there are people who are just fanatical on the other side too. I mean, they just can't stand it, and they don't want it around. It's a tough issue, as you said at the top, Mike. It's not illegal. I mean, people sell it, we take a lot of tax money from it, and then everybody complains about it, so it's a tough issue.
Okay, thanks very much for your call, Sean. Now let's go to the neighbor islands. We got the phones all ringing. Ahulani on the island of Kauai, hopefully listening to our friends on Kong this afternoon. Hello there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question. I don't smoke, but where does the Constitution fit in for happiness in regards to individuals who smoke?
Governor,
it's a good question. He's saying, well, if someone's in their own house and makes them happy to smoke, why don't we just leave them alone? And I mean, as far as your constitutional right to happiness, and I think it's a good question. I do think we shouldn't miss this point, Mike. Smoking is going to kill you. I mean, that's just the way it is. The fact that we let it be a legal product, it's just decisions society has made. And what bothers me the most, I guess, about it is when they try to entice young people to start to smoke, because you know when you begin, you will become addicted. And I can tell you from experience, and you can share your thoughts too, Mike, it's a very tough addiction to break. I heard what your caller said about cold turkey, but I mean it. It is a very, very difficult addiction.
Well, let me ask you this, Governor. When you did smoke, before the final time when you said that's it, how many times did you try to quit?
Two times before the final time.
Well, you're lucky, because most people like me was dozens.
Yeah,
over years and years. Aulani, interesting question. Thanks very much. Now let's go to the island of Maui. Speaking about the outer islands, neighbor islands, we got John over there. Hello, John.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Governor.
Hi, John.
I'd like to call. I'm asking, my main question is, what's going on with the water in Maui County? So many people are without water for their crops. We're talking about being a sustainable government here in Maui, and we can't even supply water to the most sacred crop for the Hawaiian culture.
I'm not sure what the exact question is, Mike. Water on Maui has always been an issue of transmission rather than an issue of whether or not you have a water source. Also, it's been an issue of the difference between surface water and well water. I know that the mayor over on Maui, Mayor Tavares, has as her highest priority right now a couple of big reservoirs for the upcountry area. So I know it's, again, always been an issue, but it's not that there hasn't been enough water. It's that, just as on most islands, where the water is located is not where the majority of people live, and where people do tend to live in larger numbers are the drier areas. And then you get this issue about you're taking our water and using it in another part of the island, and it's no different than California with Northern California and Southern California, that the North has the water and the South has most of the people. So it's an ongoing issue.
Okay, John, I'm I think, John, thanks very much for your question. Let's go to Paul in Honolulu next. Hello, Paul. Thanks for joining the program.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Governor, a few weeks back, there was an article in the Advertiser that the Superferry had disclosure of lobbying fees of up to $368,000 from over 20,000. Don't you think there should be a special prosecutor that independent to investigate all of those issues around the Superferry?
Well, I think you only mentioned one issue, Paul, and I think that the Ethics Commission ruled on that and made a decision not to pursue it, because when they were asked about it, they revealed all of the spending. And when they say lobbying, Mike, that included surveys that they did. For instance, they go out and do a survey among the population to see if people are in favor or not, and then they use that information to share with legislators about how they feel the community's looking at an issue. So I don't think it is something that involves anything criminal, Paul.
Isn't lobbying actually legal? I mean, doesn't...
Oh, yes.
Look, I know lobbyists.
Yes. I think the issue that Paul's raising is the article said that when they first reported the amount they had spent, it was a lot lower than the final figure. But the Ethics Commission ruled that once they raised the issue with Superferry and said that they really should include all of these costs, including when they do surveys and that kind of thing, they just corrected it immediately and cooperated with them, and so they decided not to pursue it. The Ethics Commission can make a decision to continue to pursue it, but they didn't.
Yeah, I guess, Paul, you'd have to call them and say that you still would like to see some more done. Okay, we got more to come, but right now we got plenty more to go on, but let's get back to the telephones real quick, take as many calls as we can. Let's see, Paul in Princeville, you wait to the next list. Thanks for waiting, Paul.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask the governor, I'm a big supporter of Israel. I want to know, taxpayers have to pay for your trip, and if they did, what do we get back from that trip?
Well, thanks, Paul. That's a real fair question, Mike. No, there was no taxpayer money involved in my trip. It was paid for by the conference, the Global Leaders Conference, and they raised all private funds. So there were no Israeli government funds and no Hawaii government funds involved.
Yeah, and that is, by the way, that is something that it,
very, very transparent. Very fair question,
yeah.
And we did get a lot out of it, because I was able to interact with a lot of people who are in the renewable energy field, learning what they're doing there, Mike, people who want to come here in Hawaii and do business. And so it's good. I think any time you're in an isolated place, and Hawaii, as you know, is the most isolated islands in the world or landmass in the world, to be able to maintain that kind of contact and interest from the outside world is very important. And it's part of our innovation initiative, is that international and global outreach.
On that subject, you're going to give our first innovation award.
Yeah, tomorrow. I'm excited, Mike. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock up in my office, we're going to give the first three innovation awards, and we're going to be doing it every month, an award for most innovative individual, organization, and government entity. We had a 15-member selection committee representing all sectors of the community statewide, and it's going to be very exciting. And this is going to allow us to highlight all the innovation that's going on in the state. And you're going to be surprised, Mike, at the number of fields that are going to be recognized, because innovation isn't just about technology or high tech.
Yeah, it's about a lot of stuff.
It's about doing things in a better way.
Okay, you know what? We've got a clarification. I'm going to jump over Larry on Maui and Jeff in Honolulu. Dr. Chiomi Fukino joins us from the Department of Health, apparently with a clarification on that commercial.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Dr. Fukino.
Hi. Wanted to clarify that the law does indeed prohibit smoking in enclosed and partially enclosed areas within 20 feet of buildings. Now, there are about 600 bus stops on Oahu, and they range from benches to partial shelters, which means that they have sides and a roof.
Oh, okay.
Only these structures fall into under the law. Now, the bus company, on its own, adopted a voluntary policy asking people not to smoke at bus stops because so many of their riders are children and elderly, might be affected by the smoke. So, a voluntary policy that they adopted. And we wanted to make sure that people understood that. So the ad was basically a testimonial from people on the streets, and it is correct.
That's very good. Thanks very much for clearing that up. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Doc.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go now to Jeff in Honolulu, who waited really a long time. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Mike. Hello, Governor.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'm a first-time homeowner, first-time home buyer, and I smoke. We've been pushed out of a lot of smoking areas, and I got no problem with that because I don't want to expose anybody to what I do. But if they start pushing us around in our own homes, I'm sorry, but they're going to have to call a SWAT team to get me out of my house.
You know what? I can relate to what he's saying, Governor, as a former smoker, and I'm sure you can as well.
Well, and I say that's why for me, Mike, that kind of crossed the line, as I was stating earlier. And I can understand how Jeff feels, where he's in his own home, he saved money, he bought it, he's working hard, make his mortgage payments, and he wants to be able to smoke. I hope someday you'd be able to stop Jeff, but in the meantime, I certainly can understand your feeling about it.
Eventually, I will. And until then, though,
Yes.
You got to bring a lot of guys, is what you're saying, huh, Jeff?
Well,
okay, brother. Thanks very much. Well, you know, I mean, that old adage, a man's home is his castle, is pretty true.
Exactly.
I mean, Governor, government shouldn't interfere in certain things, and I know it's tough sometimes. But there's search and seizures and other things that everybody's got to be very particular about, isn't there?
I think, I can really empathize with Jeff's comments.
Okay, Jeff, thanks very much for your call. Let's go next to Larry on the island of Maui. Hey, Larry.
Welcome home, Governor.
Hi, thanks, Larry.
Okay. You know, me with smoking, I hate it. But, whatever they do, if the smokers would just not litter, that would be half the problem. Besides, they want to kill themselves, fine, but it's against the law to litter. But that's not what I was calling about. I was calling about, I listened religiously on Tuesday, and I talked to the Department of Transportation, and there are a number of people calling from Kauai and Maui about the big trucks with the blacked-out windows and the over-big tires. How come you guys can't do a state highway patrol? And that's my question.
Well, Mike, that's been talked about before, about a highway patrol, mm-hmm. but it's never been funding available for it here. Of course, we don't have a state police force.
Yeah.
We have state sheriffs,
mm-hmm.
But in many states, they do have a state police force, or they have a highway patrol, such as in California. I don't know. It's just never kind of gotten off the ground. But I've heard it talked about before, where they're focused pretty much on the highways, mm-hmm. as opposed to any sort of criminal patrol.
Okay, Governor, before we run out of time, we need to spend a minute, because we're looking at gas, looking at $4 a gallon. We're looking at a lot of initiatives being entertained by the state for renewable energy, and we're looking at a lot of things, and one of the things that I think you learned, and that's why I'm glad the guy called about who paid for your trip to Israel, is that they have, they're surrounded by enemies, and the enemies have the gold, have the oil. So they're figuring out ways in Israel. What are they doing?
Israel's made a commitment in the next 5 years, Mike, they are going to be completely electric cars. And they made an agreement in January of this year with a project. If you go online and you can Google it, it's called Project Better Place.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also in discussions with this same organization. And it's to create a society where you don't need to use oil or gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
You simply are going to plug in. It's not a hybrid. It is a fully electric car. And this Project Better Place has made an agreement with Renault Nissan. They're going to be producing the cars. The batteries are going to be produced, and it's going to be interesting to watch. Denmark was the second one to sign up this year. They are going to go completely off of oil, and there's no government money involved in Israel.
Where are they going to get their electricity for these batteries?
In Israel, it's from solar. It's a change of policy, of tax policy, that enables people to buy these cars. And it's based on a cell phone model, Mike. So what you're buying is the juice. As you know, a cell phone today costs you almost nothing. They'll give it away.
Yeah.
But you buy these plans, and it's the same idea. What you're buying are units of energy as opposed to buying gasoline, which is refined from oil. Oil is at the heart of world terrorism. We are sending $5 billion out of our state every year, and 99% of the oil that Hawaii buys is from non-U.S. sources.
Yeah. So you'll pull up to the big battery in the Mike's battery shop.
No, there are a couple different models, Mike. The one is you plug in at home at night, just like you charge your cell phone at night. You'll plug into an outlet at home. In Israel, they're putting 500,000 of these charging stations around the country, and Israel is a relatively small country, so is Denmark, and that's why they're looking at Hawaii on the island of Oahu, for instance. But the batteries can hold the power, and there will be these batteries in the car, and there'll be battery changing stations.
I'll tell you one thing it's going to do. It's going to eliminate speed racing on the street, because these things aren't rocket ships.
Well, although I was in an electric car recently while I was back in Georgia. Dean Kamen is working on one. It goes 75 on the highway.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll still get hot rodders, except that the engine won't make that vroom vroom.
No, it doesn't make any noise.
Yeah, I was just saying. But it is very interesting. Well, so all in all, I mean, you did hundreds of thousands of miles, but that probably...
Well, the electric car, that's their approach. Yeah. It's something we're looking at. But biofuels are also very important. And on Wednesday, Mike, we're going to have our bioenergy planning meeting at the Capitol Auditorium, 9 o'clock in the morning, open to the public. And
that's
going to
be
great. I'll be there to open that up.
Let's make sure we know that. Day after tomorrow. So those of you listening on KAOI, Maui or Kong on the island of Kauai, come on over. And that's going to be at the Blaisdell.
It's at the Capitol Auditorium.
At the Capitol Auditorium, better yet. All right, Governor, nice seeing you, and thanks for including us. Now we got this thing going in the afternoon. We'll get statewide.
Aloha, Mike.
Okay, we got Fox News coming up here at the top of